Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, or a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I can see far down the mountain where I've wandered weary years. I am drinking from the fountain where I ever would abide, for I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul, oh, it's satisfied.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Deciphering prophetical chronology is crucial to accurate interpretation of Scripture. This sermon series will be a study of the 70 weeks of the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The book of Daniel is an Old Testament book of intense prophecy, much like the New Testament book of Revelation. The Lord revealed to Daniel through several visions of secular kingdoms that will rule the earth, and how the Jews and Messiah intertwine. These future kingdoms are known as the times of the Gentiles. The 70 weeks in Daniel is a prophetical time clock that portrays the two advents of Jesus Christ, the first being more chronologically defined, whereas the second is set apart mysteriously. The Apostle Paul wrote, "When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The Lord's first coming was the fulfillment of the first part of Daniel's vision. But there is another unfulfilled part of the prophecy. There is a second fulfillment that is about to unfold. The Apostle Paul also tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. This event is still future. It is rapidly nearing its fulfillment, especially as we witness the horrific events on the world stage. The globalists, the Nimrod adorers, Mystery Babylon the Great, and all her abominable cohorts are waging war with God, fulfilling Psalm 2, which reads, in part, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed." These earthly rulers and great merchants of the earth are in for a rude awakening. They think they are woke, but in reality they are drunk with madness, insanity, and false perceptions and ideologies. Jeremiah, who was also a holy man of God, filled with the Spirit, explains this madness. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. These globalists, world leaders, Marxist Democrats adore the Tower of Babel and Nimrod, her ancient founder, and they aim to restore her to her former glory in absolute rebellion to God. John the Revelator was given a similar vision in Revelation chapter 17, giving us more details to tie the loose ends of Daniel's prophecy. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Babylon is still alive, my friends, only it is not in the Middle East, but has transported her secret agenda globally. The world is in the throes of sheer madness with this fake pandemic and now the Delta variant that has locked down the world and caused billions to fear a microbe, yet there is no fear of God and his judgment against the vile sins that permeate the earth. Christian, the Lord has given us many tools to uncover who this great whore is and the beast she rides upon. It should therefore be easily decipherable who this woman is. I'll give you a hint. She declares herself to be the Queen of Heaven, and she's headquartered in Rome. If you missed an episode of this program and would like to review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel, and please hit the red subscribe button. The Fullness of Time, Part 5.
It is clearly observed from the Lord Jesus' reply to his disciples when they asked him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. No man knows. Only God, only the Heavenly Father knows when the time is that Jesus will return to this earth. And so we have no idea. And the disciples asking Jesus, Jesus doesn't even know. The Father knows. And it's put in the power of the Father. The Heavenly Father. And we understand, like I said, we understand Israel is back in their nation. Okay? That's a bizarre event. Bizarre event. We don't understand how a people who have been out of their land for almost 2,000 years are able to even identify themselves in the world. God has kept them in a sense to keep them in their Jewish traditions, their Jewish religion, and not assimilate into the masses of people and be dissolved and never heard of again. And then they're able to come back together in 1948 and establish that nation of Israel? I mean, that's the hand of God. Suffer all the tribulation that those Jews have suffered through different countries, Russia and Spain and Germany, and still be able to have that distinction in the world, and that they are a people of Jerusalem, and that is their homeland. You hear these groups out here that say, well, Jerusalem, those people in Jerusalem and in Israel, they're not really Jews. Do you want to go back to Jerusalem? Do you have any desire to go back to Jerusalem? Is that in your blood? No. No, I don't have any desire to go there. It's a bunch of rubble. There's nothing beautiful about Jerusalem or Israel that draws me there. I don't have that heartbeat to go back there. Those people have a desire to be there because that their heritage is there. And they're the Jews. Are they in God's eye? Is God pleased with them? No, he's not pleased with them. But he's allowed them to go back to this country, into their country, and claim that land. Now, who's their big protectorate? Us. Our country has protected them and allowed them the peace, a relative peace, to live there and occupy that territory. Because what would those Arabs want to do? They want to annihilate them. They want to wipe them out, destroy them. From this, we see that there are times and seasons in God's plan for the ages. And we see from Galatians above that Jesus Christ came the first time when the fullness of time was come. In other words, everything moves on scheduled time in the universe. As seen from fulfilled prophecy, that nothing has failed to be fulfilled on time. So we can confidently believe that all that the scriptures foretell of the future will likewise come to pass to the very minute. I told you last week, the study and the measure of time is called horology. H-O-R-O-L-O-G-Y, horology, the science of measuring time. In prophetical chronology, we come across such divisions of times as hours, days, weeks, months, years, times and a half. We learned that from Daniel 17. We'll learn that means 3.5 years. Time, times, and a half, or a half time, is 3.5 years. It is evident that these divisions of time, in order to be intelligible, must all be interpreted on the same scale. What scale is that? God has given us the key in his word. And that's where we see the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because they wandered and spied out the land of Israel for 40 days and then turned on God, turned on Moses and Aaron. And 10 of the spies said, oh, we can't take this land. And it angered God because 10 times they murmured against God and caused God to be angry with them. And this was the final straw that broke the camel's back. And God said, you're going to wander the wilderness for 40 years, each year for a day that you went and searched that land, and the 40 days that you were in the land. So a year for a day. And we're going to use that principle and apply that principle a little bit later here. We know that this judgment was literally fulfilled, for the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years, a year for every day that the spies searched out the land of Canaan. From this, we see that the divine scale of prophetical chronology is a day stands for a year. A day stands for a year. We're going to see, and I'm going to show you a passage where a day stands for a millennium. A day stands for a millennium. When you're dealing with prophecy, a day does not literally mean a day. So 70 weeks of Daniel 9, and we talked about Ezekiel. So you're in Roman numeral 2 of your notes here. But Ezekiel, we'll talk about Ezekiel. Ezekiel had to do these odd things to portray and prophesy of God's wrath and anger towards Israel. And Ezekiel Ezekiel is a book worth studying. We really need to study that book out. That needs to be one of either our Sunday morning sermons or Bible studies, but it is an interesting book, the book of Ezekiel. The 70 weeks of Daniel 9, Roman numeral 2 in your notes. The number 7 is the perfect number, spiritual perfection. It is composed of the divine number 3, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the world number, where we get spring, summer, autumn, and winter, or east, west, north, and south. Literally, these words should be read 77s. The word week is retained because we have no exact equivalent for the Hebrew word, which signifies a period of 7. Whether those 7s are days, weeks, or years is to be determined by the context. It is a noteworthy fact that both the natural world and the spiritual world are built on the law of sevens. Here's an interesting thing I didn't bring out last week. But you know the classification of living things, biological things, and even in the plant world, are broken into 7 classes. There was a Carolus Lyonis, he was the father of taxonomy. Taxonomy is the classification of living things. Let's take your dog. How many have dogs in here? I know a lot of you. So your dog starts with a species. Your dog is a type of species. Every one of you have different types of dogs. So that starts with the species. You work backwards, it falls under the classification of a dog. And then you go up to the family, and it's a canine. You go up a little further into what they call the order, and it's a carnivorous. It means it eats meat. You go into the type of class, it's a mammal. You go higher up and it's part of the vertebrae. What does vertebrae mean? It has a backbone, right? It has a backbone. And they call that the phylum classification. And then you go into the kingdom and it is an animal. Dog is an animal. It starts out as an animal. So you have the kingdom, the phylum, the class, the order, the family, the genus, and then the species. And so you have that law of sevens. So we see it in the natural world, the spiritual world, thus proving that they have a common origin. In the natural world, we read that God rested on the 7th day after the 6 days he created the material world and every living, breathing organism, including mankind. Civilization's timetable, economy, and commerce revolves around a 7-day week. Furthermore, all through the scriptures, the number 7 is a basic building block. There are weeks of days, weeks of weeks. There's the weeks of months. There's the week of years, the weeks of years, the week of millenniums, and the week of ages, 7 in all. The Sabbath is the 7th day of the week. We read in Leviticus chapter 23. That you had the sabbatical year when the fields were to rest. We talked a lot about that last week. Passover was the 14th day of the first month. The 7th month in the Jewish calendar was the Feast of Trumpet and the Day of Atonement. The year of Jubilee was the 50th year when the land was to rest for 2 straight years, the 49th year and the 50th. We talked again a lot about that last week. Because Israel failed to keep the sabbatical year, they were relegated to serve out 70 years of captivity in Babylon. For every sabbatical year, they failed to uphold over a 490-year period of time as they were in the land of Israel. We read that in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, combining Jeremiah's quote and Chronicles, it says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. That's 70 years. And so we see that phrase, 70 years, used quite often in the scriptures. We talked about 7 dispensations last week. You have the dispensation of innocency. Adam and Eve were created, they were naked and they weren't ashamed, the Bible says. They didn't know they were naked. God said when he made them, they made them perfect. They were perfect. It was good, very good in his creation. And so that's a short dispensation period. The first dispensation is called innocency, and it only lasted 2 chapters in the book of Genesis. It didn't last to the second generation. Then you have the law or the dispensation of conscience, when their eyes were open and then they realized they were naked and they were ashamed and they hid and they put fig leaves upon them. And then God covered them with the skins of the sacrifice, the lamb, and covered them with that. And so they now know the difference between good and evil. Their eyes have been opened to see good and evil. We learned during that period of time, Cain killed Abel. We talked about that last week. Then you had human government that took place after the flood. Remember, Cain wasn't executed because he killed Abel. But now execution comes after somebody is found guilty of committing murder. So you had to set up a human judge, codify the law, and have a jury. And so government was established after the flood. You had the dispensation of promise that was made to Abraham. Then you had the law. God's codified law was established at Mount Sinai. That was the next dispensation, the 5th dispensation. And the dispensation you and I are in is the dispensation of grace, and Christ being the sacrificial lamb and his blood cleansing us of sin. And then the future dispensation that's still to come is that 1,000-year kingdom age. And it says here in Ephesians 1:10, here is the fullness of time that's still to take place. This is what we are looking for, this fullness of time, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And that fullness of times is still a future and is to take place in a future day. So we see that twofoldness of divine truth. God gave man dominion of the earth for 6,000 years. Again, we see these seven here prominent in the scriptures. God gave man dominion of the earth for 6,000 years. The time chart, and this is an important time chart. You should have this memorized. It's not too difficult to have memorized. Adam appeared 400 BC, 400 years before Christ. Abraham was about 2,000 years before Christ, BC. David, Solomon, you can possibly put the temple as the center of the 1,000 years before Christ. The temple was the key thing with David and Solomon. It was 1,000 years before Christ. Christ appearing for AD in that time frame there. And not that our calendars are perfect. And so now it's been 2,000 years, 2,000 A.D., and Christ it should be returning soon, because that 7,000-year period, that 6,000, the end of the 6,000-year period should be coming to an end, to a close. So the seventh millennium will be the kingdom of Christ. And we learn that from Revelation 24. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. And in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, most of your churches just blend this in with, oh, when we die, we're in eternity, and eternity, you know, just starts. They totally ignore this 1,000-year reign of Christ here on this earth, if they even talk about the second coming of Christ in many of these churches. But he's going to reign on this earth, so there's a dispensation still to be fulfilled, where the sun and the moon and the stars will still be in the sky, and eternity doesn't start yet. Now, applying the above scale to the 70 weeks, and discover that in 70 weeks there are 490 days. 490 days, or on the year-day scale, 490 years. So know, therefore, and understand. This is what the prophecy of Daniel is saying in 9:25. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. So we go to figure that out. 7 + 62 = 69 weeks, or on the year day scale, 483. If we take as the beginning of this period the Edict of Cyrus, 536 BC, and its end, the birth of Christ, 4 BC, we have the length of the period as 532 years, which is 49 years too much. So, and like I said, I don't understand, and maybe someday I'll get that clarified and understand that better, why Daniel broke up the 7 weeks from the 62 weeks, why he broke that up, and what was the significance of that little element of time breakup there. But we know from the time Cyrus. So Cyrus, who is Cyrus? Key person in the scriptures. Key person in the scriptures. Let's just go there in the scriptures. To 2 Chronicles, the last chapter of 2 Chronicles, or the beginning of Ezra. Those books should be back to back. And you read, you read almost the same thing in the end of Chronicles as you read in the beginning of Ezra. And the last two verses in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, says verse 22 and 23, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth, hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea, in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up."
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30. and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.